excuse me, but marijuana helps on different kind of levels. So, like you said, anxiety, women's health, like women's issues, like there's a large scale where it helps. And then for the cafes, like, we want to be a destination, right? We want to bring more people into town. We want to bring more money, more tourists, more, you know, visits and stuff like that. And I mean, we have all the Airbnbs to house these folks, because that's pretty much all there is here now, is Airbnb. So we have enough places to house the folks that will be coming to purchase. And yeah, I feel like we should be on the train, and if we could be one of the first to say aye, then that would be even better for the village and for our area, because like you did say, we're off the exit, and a lot of traveling goes right through the village to get to either Massachusetts or to wherever. You're literally traveling right past here, so. And we're kind of in a crisis, so we could use all the extra money to help put wherever else we need it in the town, so, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Mercedes. Sarah?
My name is Sarah. To go off what Mercedes said, lounges are not bars. These aren't rowdy places that there's going to be fights and that sort of thing. So you got to think about it as a complete separate thing. My husband and I, we were talking earlier. We go to a dispensary, what are we going to do? Get back in our car, go back home. Mm-hmm. If we go to a lounge, we're going to hang out, we're going to shop, we're going to hit every restaurant. Who knows? It depends what you're smoking. But it really, to bring jobs, to bring businesses, to help our poor restaurants that still need help, I think lounges are a great idea.
I mean, like I said, to be honest with you, I'm kind of sold on the dispensary thing. So, I mean, I don't need personally a lot of help on that myself, but it's good to hear. The lounge, you know, that's a little different of an area for me, to be honest, because, like you say, in the village, you have Airbnb. So you can come down to the restaurant, you can frequent the lounge, you can walk back to the Airbnb. But again, it's the same thing with any other establishment. If you get intoxicated, if you're out in the remote areas of town and that happens. But again, if it's not a good business plan, they're not going to locate there anyway, I mean, for the most part. So, you know, that's the entrepreneur's side of the fence. So if they're not going to make money at it, they're not going to open up in that particular site. But, the thing that I want to be careful with, if you do go to the lounge, how do you get home? I mean,
Do you ask that question of a bar?
Same as with alcohol.
Do you ever ask that question of a bar?
No, but
I mean, we don't. We never ask that question.
I think that's more upscale than a lounge.
Go ahead.
My understanding is a lounge is more upscale than probably any bar in Catskill. So that's just my opinion. But
and that's a whole new business.
Right.
You know, Uber, Lyft, not dependent.
There are 16 Airbnbs on Mossy Hill Road.
Neva Wartell, Catskill Village. One of my, I guess my only concern, I'm certainly have no opposition to either a dispensary or a lounge, but my concern is that the people who are going to be making money, aside from the taxes, the actual vendor, are generally the people who have already made money from this industry elsewhere and have the money to invest. I would like to see it like a startup with somebody local, as opposed to, you know, a corporation that's been doing this and will just come in and set up, you know, and make their money, and they have no vested interest in any particular locality. If that's possible.
Yeah, for something like that, especially here in the village, maybe the LDC will get in on that, the local development corporation of the village has. Right? Mm-hmm.
And to your point, I think the lounge aspect of the bill or the law, that I think has an opportunity to help the local restaurant owner or property owner. You know, when you talk to dispensaries, that's going to be the corporate person or the person that's already made their money, most likely. But again, I think the lounges, that's an opportunity for somebody that owns property on Main Street that wants to be a little creative. So I think that's the one of the upsides to the lounge. Okay, I want to mix it up a little bit, but good. All right. Let's get the guy in the back.
Yeah,
Hi, I'm Lester. I live on Route 32 in Catskill. There's two things I heard that I wanted to talk about that were sort of giving people pause. One was the lounges, and my thoughts sort of the distinction between the town and the village. Where I live is like I live like, right on Route 32, so it's like there's a it's just I often think of that puzzle. I have a copy of that in my basement. I hang up as well. But I think about that time in the town, which I didn't live here for. I lived in Haleville first. I've only been here for about 10 years. But I think that there's like a real growth opportunity on a broad scale for the town if it gets in on the ground floor of this sort of thing, and a really good opportunity to be left behind if we don't. There's a really great article that you can sort of just Google and find. I think it's called "The Bowl Is Half Empty," and it'll tell you all of this. It gives you a map of an interactive map of all of the towns that have and haven't, or and where their general position is on it. If you're interested, Socrates is having this meeting tomorrow. but to that end, it tells you like where Catskill is really truly is the crossroads of Catskill, particularly off of Route 32. There's a good reason why there's a big sign that says it. The idea that it should sort of be contained to sort of walking communities, I can see where that would be attractive, but like we've met the Airbnbs have been mentioned, I have one. It's sort of like a lot, because it's like there's more space out there, it's like sort of a large immersive space. Like we have 5 acres, people just sort of like kind of sink into it, so like having sort of a lounge that they can sort of come away from and then sort of, or bring their sort of, they can make our place sort of around the lounge. It's an attractive prospect for whoever might sort of want to get in on that sort of thing. But I think the real thing to consider is the opportunity cost when you're doing it, the cost of not doing it. A lot of times people think that there's a binary choice between what the options are, but there's usually a third choice, and that's doing nothing. And doing nothing can just as easily step on your heels as doing something. So I'd like for people to sort of weigh the concern of getting in on this thing just as heavily as they weigh the concern of not getting in on this thing. Like from Great Barrington, I've spent quite a lot of money going over there. As I saw the last receipts.
I
shouldn't have given the state of Massachusetts $100.
Ridiculous.
I should have given Great Barrington $16 specifically. That was what I looked at my last receipt before I came here and saw. And it's not like the only time I'm going to do that. And I don't want to have to do it to Hudson. It's like Hudson has sort of been, Hudson sort of stole like Catskill's real rep.
Right. They're sworn to it, too.
They have sworn to it. But like the real mantle of the Catskills is this town, and Hudson sort of gets the rap of being like this special little gem. And we don't want to give them any more, one more jewel that they could put in.
Thank you.
So I get the sense that there's something of a consensus. I haven't heard from everybody on the board, but consensus that this is a direction that we'll really be missing the train if we don't get on one way or another. One thing that I haven't heard anybody talk about is where is this marijuana coming from? The federal government says it's illegal to ship marijuana across state lines. Well, that's terrific, actually, for Greene County, because it needs to be grown here. And we are an agricultural community. We know how to grow things here. We have the machinery. We have the manpower and the woman power. We have the land. And we have land that's gone fallow for years and years and years because we haven't had a productive crop. And this is something that it's not just about stoners walking into dispensaries and buying a joint because those people don't need to walk into dispensaries and do that, right? First of all, they're growing it themselves already. But second of all, the law makes it legal for them to grow up to 3 ounces themselves. That's fine. They can do that. Which, by the way, up until fairly recently, used to be a C felony, getting more than a year in prison, right? A felony. But now, you know, it's legal for people to do that, and legal for farmers to do that. So, you know, I think we don't need to just think about, do we want a dispensary here or a lounge there? But really, do we want to start employing farmers again to be able to sell a crop that they can support their families with and their children with, and stop people leaving Greene County to go to other places?
I don't think we have a say in farms.
We certainly have a say in keeping in Greene County.
Right, but I'm saying
the marijuana that's grown here.
Right, but there's no...
There's no opt-out.
Right.
That's correct.
Right.
That's right. What we want is to facilitate people in Greene County, in the town of Catskill, where there's farmland in the town of Catskill, to keep that income here, those people here, and that product here as well. New York State did something really smart, actually, for once, when they decided how much to tax marijuana with, right? They put a 13% tax on it. And that keeps on getting chipped away until it gets down to 3%. That could, if both the town and the village opt in, could end up with 1.75% for each. It still could be a big number. But California made a real big mistake. They put a 35% tax on it. And now California taxes 20% of the marijuana that's sold in California. 20% of it. 80% is still illicit under the table. So the other thing that we accomplish by putting a lower tax on it and generate an income for the people in Greene County and in the town of Catskill is we eliminate the illicit marijuana trade. We put those guys out of business. And they stop, now that the criminal statutes have changed on marijuana, the people who sell marijuana happily thumb their noses at the police as they're doing that. But there'll be no profit in it for them anymore because they haven't been, the legal trade is not more expensive than what people will be buying on the street. So,
trade will be pure marijuana. It might not be laced with something that you don't know.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And when you go to the store, you'll know what potency you're actually purchasing,
and
that's important.
It's true. I've been violating federal law. I'll be the first one to say, by crossing state lines with marijuana. The wonderful thing about it is that you can get something that's very strong, or you can get something that's not very strong, and you can get something that's going to keep you on the couch. Or you can get something that you can walk around with and just feel okay. It's kind of a remarkable thing. So my name is Dan Arshak. I live in the town of Catskill, not in the village. And I think that we should welcome this opportunity with open arms, both in terms of dispensaries and lodges.
Okay, thank you. This gentleman here, he hasn't had a chance yet.
From what I saw happening in California, by the way, my name's Daniel, I live in the town of Catskill. What I saw happen in California before I moved here was a lot of people in this business wind up losing their business because of manipulation of the laws. Like, let's say the edibles, a lot of the edible business went down the tubes when they started making it to where you could only have a certain potency. And after that, nobody bought edibles anymore. So, barely. I know I wouldn't.
Stop.
Okay. Yeah.
Just a little piece of sleep.
Basically, as she was saying earlier about business owners, there were local business owners that opened up shop in California. I used to have a medical card and used to go to one. and it had two sides of the place, one for flower, one for edibles. But the business owner ended up losing his business because of corrupt games being played out on the business level. If you vote yes or no, but the way it was worded, no on such and such. So maybe the grammar, as these laws are coming out, might be fixed a little bit so we could understand what we're voting for. Not any trickery, no for this, but yes, yeah, just if you mean yes, say yes. If no, no means no.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I live in the village. I wanted to just piggyback off of what Nevo was saying. You know, I, obviously I have a personal, like, I have a taco and ice cream place. We're going to stay open later. But in being serious, there aren't too many small business owners around here that are going to have the money or the time or the whatever to open a dispensary. It's just not, with COVID and everything that they're all, we're tired. And it's just, and I think that that's where I would advocate, and not that I would open one, but advocate for the cafes and so on, because it makes it accessible to the small local business owner. It makes them be able to be part of and to benefit, and they're vested and in the community. I don't like, I obviously, I would support both, but just to also, I know that you were saying about being on the fence about the cafes, I really think that that gives the average local business owner the opportunity to also be part of, and for those gains to be directly back into the community, the people who care about the community, the people who will use that like to benefit the community. And I personally don't know too many, I don't know if I know any small businesses that have the millions of dollars it takes to open a dispensary. I do think that the cafe and allowing them would make it a lot more accessible to the
gentlemen in the back.
Hi, my name is Ellie Matos. I live here in the village. I'm fortunate that I lived in Burlington, Vermont, and the Netherlands both for around 8 years. The Dutch government makes around 400 million euro annually just from the coffee shops. So lounges are very important in this industry. And it also provides people a safe space to engage with others who are doing it as well. And there is never, in the Dutch coffee shop since I've lived there, there were never any incidences. In fact, four large prisons were closed down because the crime was just, it was a non-existent. The crime that did exist was more like white collar crime or petty like shoplifting crimes. but I just want to say that it's a viable part of this industry, and I personally know people who are waiting to grow in our county, and there have been, you're going to see a lot of cooperatives happening as well. So I just want to put that out there. I think it's a very positive thing to think about.
Thanks for sharing.
Crane Davis from Palinville. I've done some research on this in Amsterdam also, and I met the smartest man in Amsterdam. He owns three Chinese restaurants, each one located right next to a bar. And he's just doing gangbusters business, because they walk out of that bar and they look and they say, Chinese. That tastes good now. So I understand you got the ice cream and you got the tacos. They drive business. They much more, because you go home. You buy it at the dispensary, you take it home. Here, now the question of what about these people being on the road? They are now. and I understand.
Can't disagree with that.
But if you look at the data,
yes,
depending on which state you look at, traffic fatalities are up or they're down. And the fact is, they're not much changed from what they were before.
Exactly.
So that, you know, you can pick your state and say it's bad or it's not bad, but it looks like it doesn't make much difference at all, basically.
Thank you, Crane. Lady in the back.
And a lounge, no one's going to open a lounge for people to just go in to smoke pot. They're going to have an activity for them to do. Because, I mean, we could get another movie theater where people serve edibles inside their movie theater. I mean, the bowling alley could switch over. They could start serving edibles and let them smoke pot outside. And then the bowling alley is getting more business. You know, nobody's going to let them just come and hang out. We have bars in town. People come, sit, for the purpose of getting drunk and going home. I mean, at least when you go in and smoke pot, people know their limits when it comes to smoking pot. People, they don't know their limits when it comes to alcohol. I mean, it's not going to be like a marijuana bar. It's going to be an actual business, whether it's a cafe or like a movie theater or something. They're going to give them an activity to do.
Any other comments or?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, and for those that are like nay on the cafes, just think of all the bars that are in our town, all the liquor stores that are in our town. There's more liquor stores than there are parks for kids to play at, right? So we have, there'll be way more trouble or danger coming out of a bar than there would ever be coming out of a cafe. You're not gonna, people smoke weed to chill out, to calm down, to relax. It's not going to cause a lot of drama or chaos or anything like that. And then we're Green County. Green County is a great name to be the capital. We have great land. We have a great name. We could literally be the capital of New York State for marijuana. And if we get a good head start on it, we could be a booming little town. So.
I can relate to the bars in Catskill. I grew up on Main Street in Leeds, and Sarah will know it's like when I was there was a bar, maybe a house, and another bar. And, you know, it was good when I became a teenager, but as a young child, to be honest with you, there was a lot of good. And it was, you know, when I was in bed at night, I heard people leaving at 2 o'clock in the morning, and but that wasn't a pleasant memory, to be honest. And I think that's an alcohol related thing. I mean, everybody knows a mean drunk or something on those lines. I don't necessarily feel you find that with a cannabis product. So, I mean, I think that could be a difference. But again, I know what the bar scene, unfortunately, looks like. Go ahead.
I don't think the cafe is a bad idea. I haven't seen that really in California or Massachusetts. I might be a stickler here, but you guys have hardly any road lights. This town could use the little tax revenue that it's getting off of it. I mean, I'm sitting there trying to drive from work, and there's hardly any lights. And I work at a Pizza Hut here in town. And let me tell you, people that come in and order are usually smoking. I'm not joking. They're smoking and they're hungry. And I'm sitting there working and I can smell it. But I had an old couple. Even the old couples are sitting there smoking in the parking lot.
Mostly the old couples.
I didn't say any names.
I work at an animal shelter, and I can tell you that people come in there smoking. It's everywhere. This is literally everywhere. It's not just the restaurants. People want to do this. They're ready to do this. It's the wave and the push of our state right now, and this is where we need to be.
I think anybody and everybody that wants to have a product of marijuana or whatever they're into, it's in Catskill, it's in Greene County. It's just a matter where are they going to get that from, and we could be missing the boat, or we would be missing the boat, in my estimation, on the dispensary side, because that's a lot of sales tax revenue. And the social problems that come in with all this, they're going to be here regardless of where they buy that product from. And so I think that's you know, we're going to, like I said, everybody kind of just firsthand here, you work at the animal shelter, you work at Pizza Hut, somebody else worked over here. Everybody's experiencing it throughout the community already. Mm-hmm. So it's not really a change. It's just going to be more visible to everybody. Sarah?
We're also, Catskill is the county seat. We should be leading by example and really, you know, taking the reins and working with other communities to make it work.
Marie?
Hunter is ready to pull the trigger. So as soon as there's something to do, Hunter is ready to go. They've got people that are interested. They've gone out and sought customers as a government. Whatever you can do from an economic development perspective in terms of finding people that are interested rather than waiting for them to come, because somebody else is going to grab them. Athens already has a committee together put forward by the town government or the village. So they're researching who's interested, who are the best people to attract, how you can enhance local people to benefit from this so it doesn't cost six figures to get a license. Sorgardy's is going to be tomorrow. So, you know, we do run the risk of being behind if we don't actively find an association, of which there is one, and I'll be happy to share the address for the state of New York, and everyone's looking for where to land that is a welcoming and an encouraging community. So otherwise they will land somewhere else getting off the thruway.
Woodstock is already opening a dispensary. They're having a cannabis festival on December 11th.
Oh,
it's huge. There's so many people talking about it. They're having musicians, they're having speakers come in to talk to people about the benefits of it and the laws. And
well, they don't have a dispensary yet.
Right. They don't have a dispensary, but they might be having a festival with a cannabis theme.
Right.
Everybody can bring their own and smoke and enjoy it, but they're not. It's not like the garlic festival. But it will be.
Not yet.
In the future, yes.
It'd be well off than the garlic fest.
Anybody else want to be heard or input? I mean,
Could I ask
about gentlemen in the back?
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, my name is Justin. I live in Leeds. I just want to say I'm definitely in support of all of the activity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well put. Could I ask what your objection is to a lounge?
I don't really know if I have a one item that I'm objecting to. I just need more information. I just haven't made that decision. I understand the point that it's very helpful to the local community, and that's why that's my driving force of being in favor of a lounge. I just think for me the dispensary is an easy decision, because if you're late to the game, you're out of the, it's done. Where it's just like a bar will come, or a new restaurant could come. But the big thing is that's the bigger money is those dispensaries. So I think, that's something. You can't be late to that. If you're late, you're just not going to succeed. They're going to cite in Sorority's or another location. So it's not that I'm against it. It was just an easier decision for me to make on the dispensaries because, like I said, if you're not up front with that, you're never going to catch up.
I would tell you that if I were opening a dispensary someplace, I wouldn't open in a place that didn't have lounges as well, that wasn't exactly welcoming to the industry, that I would be investing millions of dollars in opening a dispensary. And if it was a place that wasn't open to the business in general, I'd say, I'll go across the river to Hudson. I'll go to Sorgardy's. I'll go to Athens.
Mm-hmm.
I think, we either do this, or we don't.
I think if we jump in
the deep end, do it right, get people who know how to do it.
Geographically, we're, in my estimation, in the best spots in Greene County.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mainly because New York State Thruway is right there.
Yes.
The Thruway, that's the gateway to Greene County.
That's right.
There's no, or Sorority's is another exit, obviously, because a lot of people come up, get off that. Up 32, but the old Winston Farm.
It could be a whole new meaning to the Catskill Welcome Center.
I'm just going to point out that the people who come up from Saugerties and go up through the Clove are passing through Palinville. So there might be room for something in Palinville to serve that market that's going up there.
A's and Buds.
Going right, well, A's and Clubs.
I mean, Storch. That's going to be a Storch.
Yeah,
it's going to be a Storch. Storch. Going to have a nice new Storch at the A's and Clubs. All right.
I like that idea.
Any final questions?
Yeah, I don't understand the timeline and opting in and opting out. Like, why do we have to... I mean, it's important that we all make a decision probably before to get on the boat, kind of, so to speak, but I don't understand... Who's making this?
State of New York.
The state of New York came, you know, they. If you're silent, nothing happens.
Okay. By December 31st.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then the next day, you're in.
Oh, so what about, like, say Athens is going to be loud and screaming, like, before that date when we want in? I mean, what's the plus of saying you're going to do it now? I mean, we want to do it, all of it.
There is no plus. So... Either you pass a resolution that says you're against it, or you do nothing and you're in.
Right. But then it becomes the saying. Then you got to market yourself a little bit, saying, "Hey, we are open for this business." I mean, once the first of the year comes, they'll know who's open for business and who's not. But again, I understand your thought process. If everybody knew that on say July 1st we were in, I guess you could start promoting that.
Exactly.
But then that timeline, I mean, then we would have, that's already over the dam. You would have, but most towns aren't, I don't want to say most because I don't know that that's true or not, but what I see a lot of area towns are just expiring and opting in instead of, not too many towns that I know put a resolution together and say, we're opting in. Right. And it doesn't seem like that's the way it's been going.
Well, that's not the way the law is written. You passively enter.
Right.
Or you actively opt out.
Right. But the town board could, in their own will, say that they could have made that statement by saying we're this is what we want to do by resolution in July.
And what that might do then is
in a proactive attention sense.
Right. Of those people who want to locate somewhere in this area, and suddenly here's a town that says we're encouraging this, instead of just we'll passively fall into it.
I think the problem is the state's not given a lot of guidance either. They're still not sure how they're doing this or how they're doing that.
Right, and that
even as of January 1st, right?
Sure. Well, the state
still don't know what we're doing.
But
still don't know what direction we're going in.
Well, the state has communicated that they are desperately hoping that communities will make their decisions because there's a website that they would like the town, when it makes its decision, to enter their information. That allows this newly appointed board, which was just constituted
a month ago,
but they can't start developing what we need to have developed until the towns make the decision. So the decision comes on the 31st by fiat, right? Then they look at the data. It could be that Washington County has nothing, right? Greene County has 70%, and other places, or somewhere in between. They have to figure out how to do this. And God knows, we don't want it to look like the State Liquor Authority, so I'm actually optimistic about them taking their time to do it right. My understanding is they're going to follow the Colorado model and not the California model for some of the reasons that you mentioned. If they follow the Colorado model, it's fairly well done, and there's a lot of money out there. And the federal government has just introduced a bill where it will not potentially be a federal issue, which means now you can actually bank it and do the things you're supposed to be able to do with it as a currency instead of it being somewhat illegal at the federal level.
I mean, in defense of all the towns in New York, the information has come out slow. I was just looking to try for a date. This is from the associations of town, and that's one of our go-to organizations to help us when we need it, knowledge and attorneys and extra information. This doesn't have a date, but I can tell you, this wasn't out in February and it wasn't out in March. This might have shown up maybe in June, July, or something, or maybe even later, to be honest. Which so it's compiled here. But some of those question and answers, like we were talking about, the opt-ins and the opt-outs, If it wasn't stated in here, I wouldn't know. And that wasn't available early in the game.
The one other thing that whatever decision, if the decision is made to opt out, you can then take it to a permissive referendum by state law and have it be a referendum vote on whether to opt in or opt out. But there's a timeline that has to be done fairly quickly if that decision gets made.
Correct. That's a good point. I mean, so, right, and Crane's 100%. You know, if the town board acted and the general public decided that that wasn't something that they wanted, they can, through a referendum, they can push an actual vote from the general public. So. I'm sorry, Ed.
Yeah, my name is William Buckhorn. I live in Catskill, bottom of Wood Road. I definitely think we should have these dispensaries and coffee shops. It takes it out of the back alleys and puts it on the street. Place, safe place to buy marijuana and take it home, or a safe place to use it if you have no other place to go. And it takes it out of the back alleys and it makes it safer. That's why I'm in favor of coffee shops. It worked in Amsterdam, as I experienced, and it was really no trouble. Everybody had a good time. And there were no problems with it at all. So I definitely believe that coffee shops are the key to make it safe for usage. Not just purchase it, but to use it also. And I agree with you too, it's a good thing to do. But I think the town should go and specifically vote to do this, not just let it pass and it comes to us. We should take a proactive, and the town board should act on it.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments on the cannabis?
Hi, I'm the other Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm Sarah Hoover. I live in the town, and I want to second your comment that passive energy is enervating, but positive, proactive energy gathers people together and gives momentum and says, here we are, we want to do this, and I'm supported dispensaries and cafes and going forward with this. So even though the law says we can just sit and let it pass, I think the town should take positive, proactive stance and say, hello everyone, we're here, we're ready, come please.
Green County.
Green County. Exit 21 on the New York State Thruway.
change the exit number to 420.
Right. You can get the state to do it. Let's do it.
Can I just thank you guys for opening this up for the public comment? So that, you know, you heard from everybody and the people in the community that, and I'm sure there are some folks that probably sent emails, but
yes.
This was a valuable discussion. I think we all learned something.
Now, the dialogue is definitely appreciated from everybody. Yeah, we did get some emails, a few phone calls, but not, I would say.
Some. We received 8 emails, 7 are for, and 1 is against.
Right, we got 8 in total, and I got a couple of phone calls.
Great.
Plus, Councilman Giordano was completely on board.
Right, Jared, like I said,
he's
on board with dispensaries and on-site lounges, cafes, or whatever. Okay,
great.
Thank you.